Blog Talk Radio.
Futzed out, like, at least in New York anyway, but I guess Boston is still getting hammered. It's January 27th, and my name is Annie Lindstrom, host of Talkupy. Talkupy is about people who do good things for community and make the world a better place. This week we are going to have a switch up. We've been having some environmental activists on last week. This week we're going to have performers. Two of my favorite performers are coming on. One is a return guest, but today we're having someone who does everything, a whole bunch of different like mediums. And then Thursday we'll have a monologuist, Aaron Califato, who is going to be talking about for-profit colleges and student debt crisis. So in the meantime, please visit Talkupy.net. That's where I have my blog, photos and videos and show notes. And you can see archives of more than 130 shows. Last week we had on Fractivist to talk about fracking, and also Damian Luzzo to talk about the Utah tar sands. And we're still going to be talking environmental today, even though we'll be talking to an artist. But I like the way the two things kind of mix up. Also want to just remind everybody to check out the show with Heather DeMayan about ableism. You will be so glad you listened to that show. It's fantastic, and I hope to get on that topic a little bit more. You can also click when you get to the Talkupy.net. You can get on the contact tab, send me listener mail, any kind of suggestions you might have for future guests. We are going on into February. We have the funding to do that, so we're going to go ahead and do it. And I really look forward to it. We're going to have Robin Mello back on from, she's from Philadelphia, and she's a permaculture person, and she's going to start off the second month of the year with us. Before we begin, I do want to thank Ronald Jenkins for his song Disorganized Fun, which we always start off the show with. Check him out at ronaldjenkins.com, J-E-N-K-E-E-S is how you spell his last name. Now, without further ado, I want to welcome my guest for today, T. Paige Del Porto from West Virginia. And I'm not sure where he is because he had to drive to somewhere that he could get good reception. And welcome, T. Paige. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. I'm doing well. Doing
great. Well, that sounds really good. That sounds excellent where you are right now. So we might have to talk up just a little bit louder, though. And I just usually start out the show by telling people where I met my guests, because I have people from all over different spectrums and different issues. But I met you in my little, what I like to call my little West Virginia coal seam, which, I mean, I guess maybe that's a bad analogy, but it was Stop the Kaboom Festival back in 2012. I had interviewed Laura Stapleton about that, and then I had Laura Van Allen on the next year, and then last year they were scrambling to find a spot, and we didn't have time to get them on the air. But Stop the Kaboom is about monsters in West Virginia, and I just made so many friends in West Virginia that it's crazy, and you're one of them, and we've been talking about getting you on the show for some time. So I'm glad that you're here, and we'll have a fun day. We got some music queued up, and we'll play a couple songs. Or two, or maybe just one. We don't know. We'll have to see what happens. But basically, you're an activist who does a lot of art things. You're an actor, artist, musician, photographer, poet, and I know there's probably other things that you do. And we have some of those things on display on your promo. But tell me about tell us a little bit about yourself and what your activism is. And how it got you into maybe your first, or how your artistic side combines with your activist side. And is mountaintop removal your main issue that you go at with your art?
Right, yeah. It, you know, I got involved, you know, back in 1998, and I met all these great people in the movement, you know, like Judy Bonds and people from Coal River Mountain Watch, and there was such a sense of camaraderie, and it was just great, you know, it was just great. Judy Bonds, you know, she's, you know, passed away, I think, 3 years ago, but at that time, she was such an inspiration to me. I had already written one song about, you know, my my concerns, and I took it down to the Capitol and just by myself, you know, and I didn't really want to be identified with anybody, just an ordinary, you know, guy, you know, who was upset and about the environment and things that were going on in the environment that I didn't like, because one morning I woke up, I have a house in Charlton Heights, and it's up on, you go like up the hill, you know, and you, and then there's a mountain behind you. Well, I heard this bulldozer.
So oh, wow.
I've lived there all my life, you know. I'm like, what the hell is going on? And pardon my French. But H-E double hockey sticks. Anyway, so I went out into the woods. I took my video camera and I, you know, located the bulldozer. And they were just making a mess of the place. They were cutting roads everywhere. And this is the place where, you know, I'd grown up in playing in these creeks. I had moved from Montgomery to Charlton Heights when I was 8 with my parents, built a house there, same house that, you know, I'm talking about. And
right.
My God, we had such a wonderful childhood with, you know, just roaming through the woods and, you know, meeting rattlesnakes and groundhogs, and it was just so thrilling as a kid. And there was a large stream, and there was a pool of water called Daniel Boone's Bathtub.
Mm.
And, you know, the kids, I mean, this was my hero, Daniel Boone, you know, to all
mm-hmm.
those kids, Davy Crockett, you know, growing up in that era.
Yes, I do. I used to watch Davy Crockett and Daniel Boone on TV.
I mean, I got the Davy Crockett hat for Christmas and everything.
So did I, yeah. Fess Parker, right?
Really? So,
I'm,
you know, we would strip down to our underwear and go swimming in this hole, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And just wonderful. And then to come upon this scene of destruction, you know, chop down trees. So I just went, a little crazy for about 4 months. I wrote a song. I got it at the newspaper to an article. I just raised a lot of hell, you know?
Mm-hmm. What song did you write? What song was it that you wrote?
It's called Kiss the Hills Goodbye.
Wow.
And,
so there's one thing I want to make sure everybody understands. I mean, what Mountaintop Removal is, you want to explain that briefly? Just because I don't think everybody actually knows what that is, like what happens when they do it.
Well, that's when instead of a deep mine, you know, digging, tunneling into the, you know, the earth, into the coal field, and putting up a support system and all that, and augering the coal out, or whatever they do, they just blow the top of the mountain off, and then they just shovel it out, and creates huge problems and permanent, you know, effects.
Right. Well, I understand that they take, when they blow it up, the stuff they don't take to be processed, they fill in the valleys, and that's
right.
Where all the streams get poisoned, and then there's a lot of slurry that comes from it. And people who want to know more about this, you definitely want to check out the Stop the Kaboom shows, because they were pretty informative about that. If you go back in the archives, you can hear that. We are getting a little background noise from you there, T-Page. I'm not sure what it is, but just so you know. And you know, we can't. So when we interview someone in West Virginia, everybody, this is how it goes, because they're in the mountains and it's on a cell phone. this is it's just the way it is. So hopefully everybody will bear with it. There's just a little twitching going on the Twitter. So, the Skype. But anyway, so hopefully everybody will bear with that, and we'll just try to correct for it as we go along with the show. Sometimes it can be overwhelming, and sometimes you just can adapt to it and be able to listen to the show. So you saw him doing that, and you decided you would write songs. Now, since then, you know, and you're a musician, you play guitar. We have actually two songs that you've done that we can play at any point, so just let me know when you want to do that. And you also were an actor in a film called Moving Mountains. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Well, yeah, I was going to tell you that that Kiss the Hills Goodbye. This song by Jen Osha, an activist, and I think she's a teacher at a college somewhere. But anyway, and it was put on a CD called Moving Mountains. Now, you know, six years later, I get an email from a friend, Steve Fasemeyer. He's in the film office at the Culture Center. And this is on Saturday night, and it's like, you know, auditions tomorrow morning for a movie. So, you know, I'm there, you know. And I'm not expecting anything except, you know.
Well, have you had any acting training at all, or did you just decide to show up and go for it?
Well, I just always had an interest in it, you know.
Okay.
A great thing to do. I had auditioned a couple of times before, and I just missed that Mate One, you know, the John Sayles movie that they filmed down in Thurmond, I believe it was. That's like, you know, 20 miles from my home, and I did not go to that audition, but I was interested in stuff like that, so... So I did the audition, you know, just on the fly like that, and they went, "Wow, you're perfect for the part of Dewey, the main character's husband."
Wow.
So.
And what's that movie about? Tell us what that's about, because I mean, people can check it. It's not out yet. It hasn't been shown. It has been shown somewhere, but I don't.
Yeah.
It's not like on Netflix or anything.
No. We're trying to get it on like the Lifetime channel, and Penny Loeb, who is, you know, the brains, you know, the author, the movie producer, Pulitzer Prize finalist, a journalist from the U.S. News and World Report. She broke the story on mountaintop removal nationwide back in 94 or something like that. Mm-hmm. Anyway, and I met her when she first came to West Virginia, and she stayed on, and she got so interested in the story, and this activist that she met Patricia Bragg, that she ended up writing a book about you know, the whole what Trish Bragg was going through, and the whole issue of mountaintop removal and the communities that it was destroying, and what they were doing to fight back. And Trish Bragg was a very courageous woman, and it's basically her story.
Oh, wow.
Mountains.
So that's cool. Yeah, I used to watch him do movies all the time when I lived in Chicago. And I thought it looked pretty boring. Was it boring or was it really fun? Because it's a lot of sitting around, at least when Hollywood's doing it. Did you?
No, it was not boring.
No? I guess not for the actors.
No, it wasn't. It was, you know, because for me, you know, it was the first time I wanted to do a good job and get my lines right, you know?
Right.
So that was very interesting, yeah.
I can't imagine remembering lines. When was that? When did that happen? That moving
this
mountain?
Was the summer of 2012.
Oh, wow. So that's just recent. That's like right around the time when I was coming in to learn about mountaintop removal. I'll never forget that show because I was basically like, my jaw was dropping the more Laura said. I was like, no, they don't do that. That can't be possible. I guess, you know, you hear about it along the way, but if, you know, I guess it's a big country and there's a lot going on all the time and you don't think about it going on the scale that it's going on. Or, you know, all the wastewater and stuff like that that has to be put somewhere. Like one pool I saw that was like super high up on a mountain, like really high. It was like, and it has like millions of gallons of water up in there. Or water, I mean, it's wastewater, so it's toxic. But it's, you know, it just has so many, there's so many aspects to it. But the gist of the movie is about fighting and not winning, or fighting and, like, what's the plot?
Well, I'm reading the book now. I'm just getting to the end of it. It's ridiculous, but Stephanie DeBaugh was a great book called Moving Mountains. And the last couple of chapters she devotes to all of the good that came out of this case. It's Bragg versus Robertson. And it was like a really famous case, and that was, you know, it just totally had a huge impact on West Virginia at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like the first time that, you know, cases started being won. They'd always been lost in the courts. So
right.
It was kind of pivotal.
The court system there is the thing that's extremely corrupted because they never rule in favor of anybody but the mine owners, is what I've been reading. So that's difficult. But now you've been an actor, and that, you know, that movie, hopefully people will get to see that at some point. And there is some information on it. On your promo, so if anybody wants to check that out. But I mean, primarily, you are being a musician and a photographer these days. You seem to have picked up the camera, was it recently, or is that something you've been doing all your life but just kind of got serious about it because you had some shows and stuff like that?
Right. Well, I started writing songs like when I was 12 years old, and I started taking pictures when I was 12 years old, but you know,
okay.
Like with a Brownie camera. But,
yeah.
and it's funny how the two, you know, kind of intertwined because, you know, I got interested in music seriously when I was like 23 and I started writing songs and, you know, in earnest. And so then I went to Nashville when I had this opportunity to go there. And, you know, while I was there, I started, you know, going to school, and one of the classes was photography. And when I, you know, I took that class, and I just, you know, I was a goner. I just loved so much. It became like my second passion, you know.
Uh-huh.
And,
if only you could get a guitar that would take photographs while you sang. That would be a perfect thing.
Well, I do that actually at these events and rallies. And I a camera and my guitar, sling them both around my shoulder. And
yeah. Need to get a Swiss Army knife type thing that you can do both with. I'm just being silly. So, I mean, people maybe they don't realize, is that what it's like in West Virginia in terms of, I mean, there's a lot of rallies. There's a lot of activity going on, and it's a lot of opposition, too, because a lot of people make their money, you know, in the coal business. So it seems like it's very active there, from what I've been able to see over the past couple of years, you know, in terms of, you know, there's a lot of fight going on. And maybe it's since this time, you know, when cases started to be won, but it's getting down to that time when everybody's suffering more and more as more and more stuff is degraded. But is it, what's your life like? I mean, are you typically going out to festivals and rallies? I mean, to sing your songs and take pictures?
Well, yeah, I do that, you know, whenever they have something. And I just did a they had a rally in Charleston,
mm-hmm.
At the Capitol, in support of clean water, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm up there on the Capitol steps and, you know, singing my little songs and they had other groups. This was like Paul Epstein's group of artists for the environment. I was so glad to see, you know, this come about, because, you know, my feeling was, where I had come to, the place I had come to, was I had, you know, realized that, you know, there's so much going on now. Why not use, you know, whatever it is you do to, you know, to make a change for the better? And it seemed like it wasn't happening as fast as I wanted it to, but now I think people are catching on, you know, and
mm-hmm.
that's great, you know, it's wonderful to see that happening. And the same thing was back when, you know, Judy Bonds was around. She and Larry Gibson went around the country and started speaking at these colleges. And before that, you know, I would go to these rallies and there would be the same people, you know. And, and I'm
yeah.
like, you know, what are the young people? We need some young people here.
Yeah.
And it was like a prayer answered when the next rally I go to, I look around and there's like 20 college age people. I'm like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
It's like overnight, all these. And groups like Mountain Justice. In West Virginia is now like the epicenter of the environmental movement. I mean, you talk about water, you know, we are the headwaters for, you know, that supplies water. I'm sitting here right now in Glen Ferris. I'm looking out at this beautiful river, the Kanawha River. I mean, it's like we're realizing how precious it is. And I don't know. I think some things are getting better. I mean, from reading the book Moving Mountains, and there were a lot of positives that came out of, that one case. But now, you know, the Republicans have taken over. Can I say Republicans?
Of course you can.
But we just had our elections. I guess it's midterm. And for the first time in 83 years, Republicans have taken control of the West Virginia legislature. So that's a very bad thing for the environment, potentially.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really upset about it. And I, you know, don't like that very much, because I know that a lot of these politicians were backed by these the big money, the corporate interests, that, you know, what their interest is primarily, you know, making money. So,
right.
I'm worried about that.
That would be our take on it, for sure. That's what they're in it for. We can't prove it, but we'll have to wait and see. So far, Congress has voted an amendment to KXL to say that man is not causing any climate change. And then what was the other one that they did the other day? Oh my God, I can't remember. That scientists are not allowed to testify to the EPA anymore. That's been disallowed. So
really?
Yeah, that was actually voted on like 3 days ago, I think, or last Friday. But so Google Congress EPA 2015, and you'll see whatever that was. I couldn't take that much time to read it, because it just kept my hackles up. I just like, oh, you got to be kidding me. But I don't think it matters. I think the EPA is kind of a dead organization right now anyway. So, I mean, that would be my take on it from all the things that I've been reading. They haven't had any teeth. So even if someone could go and testify to them, I don't know what good it would do. So it's a little sad, but you know, we just got to keep moving on. And I think sometimes the more the momentum gets, you know, with these kind of very negative things happening, you know, the more it kind of maybe serves to wake people up, because there's still not enough people awake to make the difference that needs to be made. So, and that's what you're doing. I mean, you're trying to wake people up. So, you know, that's, and I am. I mean, we're just trying to put the information out there so people can get it and make a change. And one of the things I like about what you do, and I think sometimes my show has so many people with so many different interests and so many different issues. And I think people get very pipeline, you know, we segment everything these days. And I think that's a bad thing, sort of. I wish that people would kind of cross-pollinate a little bit more and start to see the benefit, you know, of listening to someone like you or someone like Aaron, who's going to be on Thursday, and see like, oh, well, there's something we could do to get the message out, you know, that's different than marches or holding signs, you know, which I'm for those things. But I think that different people are going to hear the message in different ways. So is that your experience? I mean, do you reach a different group with your music and with your photography that you wouldn't meet, like maybe doing, you know, a show at the Capitol?
Not as much as I would, you know, like, to tell you the truth. You make little incremental progress, you know, and everything you do is, you know, you just try your best to get it out there, and you know, in such a way that people can relate to it. I changed my music a lot when I met Judy Bond, just hearing her speak. She was such a fireball. And Larry Gibson, they just had such an energy and such a beautiful way of talking to the audience. And I don't know, I made an album previous, you know, to that called Pearl.
Mm-hmm.
Available on the internet somewhere. But my music changed a lot. I think it got better. I think it got more energetic, and I was trying to rally the troops, encourage people, you know, to,
mm-hmm.
to get up and get involved, you know, and
right.
you know, have fun with it, you know, rock and roll and overthrow the government.
Well, I think it might be a good point to play the Massey's Farm song. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that before we play that? Like what that's about and why you wrote it?
Yeah. I don't usually do, you know, take off some other people's songs, but this was such a good fit, you know, from Bob Dylan's Maggie's Farm.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if y'all remember that one.
Even the young people remember Bob Dylan better than I do, even.
Well,
I'm just starting to get into Dylan myself. I know that's bad, but. Anyway, yeah, so it's like it's take off on Maggie's Farm, and it's about Massey's Farm. What is that? What about people that, you know, let's assume people don't know.
Okay. Yeah, Massey was like the arch enemy of the environmental movement. They were they went bankrupt. So thank God.
And I believe someone went to jail recently too. Wasn't it from Massey or?
Well,
wasn't there
a
conviction? Yeah.
The CEO is being tried. Let's see what happens to him, though. I mean, he's got millions of dollars.
Oh, okay. I thought that was done. I guess I'm thinking ahead of time, but people can look them up. But so, what is the song about?
Well, it's about. I ain't going to work on Massey's Farm no more. I mean, it just means I'm not going to buy their lies, and I'm not going to, you know, I don't know. Why don't we just listen to it?
Okay, here we go. We're going to put it on, and I'm going to mute us both so we won't get in the way, and then we'll talk after, okay? So here we go, the Massey's Farm from TPage, Del Porto.
Thank you.
gonna mess this farm no more. Ain't gonna work and I'll mess this farm no more. Hands your nickel, hands your dime, your life is in his hands. When you get down in that mine, you got safety violations. Get loud. Ain't gonna work no more. Ain't gonna work so far. Miners, cares about the kids, cares about America, keeping them bodies here, then paying off inspectors at the door. Oh, ain't gonna work no more, ain't gonna work so far. Many lives will be lost. Now don't bother me. I'll be safe in my mansion, keeping still. Oh, ain't gonna work. Ain't gonna work so well.
Okay. Great stuff. Yay. It's a clap. That's fun. I like that song a lot. It's the second time I've heard it all the way through, and it's just so powerful. Definitely good stuff. Good stuff. So, I want to talk, you know, like, what are you thinking about after you're hearing that? Like, what does that make you just comes up in your mind?
Well, let's see. Well, the way I played and, you know, just how well it came out. The meaning of the words, I could talk a little bit about that. I mean, this Massey group, you know, and this CEO, there's Don Blankenship. He did so much that was wrong, you know. He had spent his millions to elect, you know, people to politicians and judges, and influenced people in the worst direction possible. It's just a slime ball.
Whoa! Now wait a minute.
Wait a minute.
We don't want to. We'll just kind of like sidestep.
Yeah, his public figure isn't okay.
Well, I'm just saying. I don't like my show. Is not.
No, listen, Andy. Listen,
we just
want to
say the facts.
All right. Well, listen, and you draw your own conclusion. And we haven't even talked about UBB yet. Up a big branch. 29 miners lost their lives.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can cue that other song about that.
When you go?
When you go.
Yeah.
Because this is due to reckless disregard for human life.
Right.
And the cost of doing business, according to... This is what he said after these 29
right.
miners lost their lives. So why is he on trial now? It's because he's a psycho.
What?
Sorry, you can't get away from that.
That's your opinion. I'm just saying, as far as like being a radio show, I don't like this. I don't want to put those things out there except for just say their opinion. So just so everybody's clear, those are opinions being expressed on Talkie 5. So, yeah, I mean, it's definitely, you know, obviously there's wrongs have been done, and people are, you know, not very well liked for some of the things that they've done. But as far as like the names and stuff like that, we try to just be step aside from that on this show. So those are T-Page's opinions, and we respect them. But we'll just kind of we'll just be more. I want to talk a little bit. The one thing I do want to talk about before we get done is, and we can play when you go for sure. But Larry Gibson, there's a picture of you with him in the promo. And what, you know, talk a little bit about Larry and how you came to meet him and who he is and why he's so important to what happened. You know, I mean, he's passed last year, but you know, why he's so important to the movement.
Larry Gibson. Well, you mean I have to quit talking about Don Blankenship?
Well, you can talk about him. We just don't want to call a couple names on the show. That's all.
Well, you know, he's on trial for murder.
Well, what about Larry? How about Larry?
Okay. Well, God rest his soul. Larry was just a sweetheart of a person. You know, I met Larry early on. And he was always so kind to me and, you know, just supported me in my music just like Judy did.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just a tireless worker for his people. I mean, these two, Judy and Larry,
mm-hmm.
you know, I wrote a poem about them, about these two giants. You know, they were both like 5 foot tall, maybe 4'11" or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they were giants, and
Larry in particular, he kept his property. He didn't sell his property to the mining companies and lived on it until he passed. And he did a lot of retreats and stuff for people wanting to learn more about mountaintop removal. So, you know, he's pretty influential, you know, up to even his last days. But he must have been stressed out And his wife had passed, I guess. Well, you know, so he was actually alone up there at the end. So.
Well, no, no.
No?
He remarried. I think he and his wife divorced. I don't know if she passed away or not, but he remarried, you know, just a wonderful person, Carol.
Oh, they got it wrong.
Yeah. They didn't live up there. I mean, he had, you know, they were shooting holes in his house, you know, and just all kinds of, you know, bad things that they were doing to him.
Right.
And so, you know, he lived down in the outskirts of Charleston.
But he never sold, so that was kind of cool. There's a lot of good stuff on him on you know, if you want to go on YouTube or just Google him, you can find out a lot. Larry Gibson's worth looking up. Pretty interesting guy.
Definitely.
And a big loss. Do you want to listen to When You Go? And that's about the miners who were lost in the UBB mine accident?
Sure. By the way, you know, you can find my songs on YouTube also.
On where? On YouTube? Yeah, oh, definitely. Yeah, we're going to give you a chance at the end to give everybody that info. But, definitely Google T-Page and you'll get it. We still got time left. Let's play this last song and then we'll talk about photography. And then we'll probably wrap it up after that. So let's play When You Go. Hold on for that.
Sounds good.
Here we go.
When you go to the dark and the damp and the cold, don't turn out the light, leave it till the dawn, till I light stays always on. When you go, when you go to the dark. Don't turn out the light. bed like you always did. Don't wanna sleep with you tonight, so don't turn out the light. No, don't turn out the light when you go.
Alrighty. Thank you, T-Page. Nice song. Beautiful. Sad, but beautiful. We did have a caller during that song, and I just wanted to let everybody know it's not a call-in show because I don't have a call screener, so I can't take calls during this show right now until I get someone to help me out. So I apologize for that. But
I'll help you out, Annie.
Well, maybe I'll get T-Page to help me out going forward.
So, you're always
a big help.
I appreciate you so much there, Annie, because, you know, you're doing a lot for, you know, the right reasons. We really appreciate that.
Thank you
for playing that song. I've forgotten how special that song is. I recorded it in Oak Hill, and, you know, a lot of songs just fall flat. You don't get in the moment. You don't get there. But you know, thank you for playing that. I appreciate that.
Yeah, and there was a little distortion, I think, on the Skype. So I apologize for that. But this is live radio, so what can you do? Can't change it. And you know, it makes it more rough, more edgy, I think. And speaking of rough and edgy, let's talk about that photo that you had me put in your promo yesterday because you wanted it there so bad. Of the crying miner on the side of a mountain. Tell us about that. It's rotating in the promo show, and also people might be interested about your photography in general. I mean, that you're taking sometimes a straight photo, but a lot of times you're playing around with the camera, moving it, playing with the apertures. You try. It's much more artistic photography than, you know, you're going to see a representational sometimes. You know, it's more impressionistic.
Right.
But this particular photo, let's talk about it and why you wanted that in your slideshow so much. What is it of?
Well, I just took it on Saturday, I believe. Actually, while you were playing my songs, I had moved from Glen Ferris to Golly Bridge, so I'm sitting right directly across from it.
Okay.
The actual rock right now.
Wow, that's
cool. Right where I stopped the other day, you know, I wasn't taking pictures. I was on my way somewhere, and that got kind of, you know, kiboshed. And anyway, I looked over and just glanced over, and there it was. This face, I saw this face and this rock, and I'd never seen it before. You know, I've lived here most all of my life. And anyway, I took the picture, right, and I got back home, and, you know, I was like, wow, this is really something. I wonder if everybody can see this, you know, like I'm seeing it, because, you know, I see it, you know, you might see something, and I might see something else, you know.
Right. Like Jesus on a potato chip kind of thing.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. But Jesus on a piece of toast, I heard. There's got to be a rumor that image of Jesus on a piece of toast sold on eBay for $1 million.
Well, this is a little bit more serious, so I should probably respect it more, but just so people get the idea. But yeah, so you saw that, and that's, no one's ever taken a picture of that and seen that before. Just you, as far as you know, is what you're saying?
As far as I know, and it was you know, there's a process from taking a picture to where I'm at now with it, because I kept looking at it, you know, working with it, trying to, you know, correct for tone and sharpness and all that, and cropping. And finally, the I'm like, what does this, what could this mean, you know? And so first I was calling it sleeping giant.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, wait a minute, what's that on his nose? Did I just make a boo-boo there on his nose?
Mm.
It was a teardrop on the bridge of his nose. And I'm like, this is a weeping giant.
Mm-hmm.
And I played with it in my imagination and what it could mean, you know. And I know it sounds really, I don't know, kind of out there, but you don't see something like this every day. And about 4 or 5 miles from here, a tunnel was built through the mountain. You know, we're surrounded by mountains here. And this tunnel connected two rivers and produced hydroelectric power. And in the 30s, it was built, and the men that built it didn't realize they were breathing the silica dust. And you know, I have a song about it. And it was killing them. They had, it killed them quick, like 6 weeks. There were 1,000 at least men that perished because of that, and because of corporate, negligence, not bothering to tell men, you know, you're going to die. And they were, a lot of them were brought in from the South. They were African Americans. So I'm looking at the picture, you know, and I'm trying to build a story about it. And then it's like God tapped me on the shoulder and said, here's your story, man. This is a tunnel worker. And I looked, and he has some of the features of a black man. You know,
wow.
And then I thought, you know, this is a way, whatever it is, you know, it's a way to memorialize the man that died. So that's how I'm projecting this image. You know, that's what it means to
right.
me.
Plus the white privilege involved in that whole exercise. So that's tremendous. That's amazing. So I can't believe they all died in 6 weeks. That's like unbelievable.
Yeah.
But that silica dust, you know, that's like glass getting in your lungs and getting all deep down in your lungs. So it's like the middle of the East Coast is like just famous for like killing lungs. You got the tobacco in North Carolina, and then, you know, all the dust and coal dust and stuff in West Virginia. It's weird, you know. And there's like so much forest and everything there. It's kind of like the lungs of our country in a way. Or it used to be.
Yeah.
But yeah. So now you'll probably turn that into a song, I would imagine. So the photography will morph into a song or a poem or both.
Well, actually, like I said, I've already written that song.
Oh, okay.
The Hawk's Nest Tunnel Disaster. It's about Shirley Jones. He, his brother, and his father, all three of them died. They were from Golly Bridge, and they all died in that tunnel.
Wow.
From, you know, working in that tunnel. So I wrote a song, you know, about it. And it was, you know, it's one of the, you know, best songs. It just tells the whole story in about 3 minutes. So.
Oh, wow. So that came out. You wrote that after you took the picture or before, and it kind of fits with the picture?
No, I, well, the timeline on that is Mary Lynn Evans, you know, the film producer of Appalachians, she was looking for music for a film. She was a documentary she was going to do about the Hawk's Nest Tunnel disaster. And so I wrote that song for her movie. it didn't get included, but this was about, I don't know, 5 years ago, I guess, that I wrote the song.
Wow.
But it's just another way, you know, someone can use their art to spotlight, to highlight, you know, an issue. You know, so I encourage artists, you know, there's a whole lot of territory here that, you know, please do it. You know,
right.
get involved, use your art to, you know, bring about change. We need it so desperately in the world today. You know, pop music is fine, you know, whatever kind of music you're playing, but I think we've just, you know, gotten too far away from meaningful music, meaningful
mm-hmm.
songs. I mean, like from the 60s, you know, just all those great songs, Where Have All the Flowers Gone, you know?
So I do. You just sing that,
know,
at camp.
And I think it's not
wrong.
That the artists aren't trying. I think that it's, you know, again, you've got the people with money. What
mm.
songs are they going to promote? Are they going to promote some little protest singer down in West Virginia? Hello. They're going to, you know, go for the Taylor Swifts and, you know, Pretty Young Things and All About That Bass. You want me to go into that one?
No, I think we'll save that for another time because we're coming up to the closer. But people could definitely
Perfect.
Check out your the songs that we've talked about. You mean you have a Reverb Nation page? That's a good place to listen and to purchase your songs. People can go there. They can go on YouTube and Google your name. Also, you have a photography website that we have a link to on the promo, and your Facebook page, which we all have our love hate with Facebook. But if you want, I think T-Page will probably still have his Facebook page up. I don't know if I'll have mine, but those are all good places to look for more information. I'm going to try to put an actual blog together for this show just to give a little more background, because we've kind of, you know, glossed over some of these important people like Judy Bonds, Larry Gibson, the Massey, whole Massey thing, and the people who are being, you know, put on trial and what the status of that is. So we could definitely put the facts up because we've been conjecturing a little bit. Also a little bit more links for Mountain Justice and then Stop the Kaboom. I'll put a link on there for the two shows that we've done with Laura and Alan, who put that on, and which is where I met T-Page. So everybody can get up to speed, and there will be a lot more shows about West Virginia always on Talkupy, because there, I don't know what happened when I stopped the Kaboom. Just I made so many friends there, and I didn't even get to go there. But we did a live cast when the show was on, and you know, John Suntiger took me around via phone, and I interviewed people that were there, and it's just turned into like my little family up in West Virginia that I hope to visit someday for real. So
yeah.
Hopefully that will be coming up. So go ahead.
I can't believe you've never been here. I mean, we just feel like, you know, you're just a West Virginian.
I know, it's crazy. Well,
I did come through
on the way back from New York when I was at the Occupy anniversary. I had to leave because I was sick. I was really, really sick, and I had to get down to my mom's in North Carolina before it was too late. So I stayed one night, and then I had to zip. But so I've sort of been there.
Well, I think you definitely belong here. I mean, you're just the same type of person that, you know, that I see every day, and I've come to know and respect and love these people that are involved in this movement. I
yeah.
mean, they're just great, great people and doing such important and wonderful work. They're just
right.
awesome people like Trish Bragg, Penny Loeb, Paul Corbett Brown, and, you know, he's an amazing photographer.
Well, let's get some of those people on. I mean, I'm definitely open.
Well, definitely.
So you need to add, there are offers out there. If you're interested in coming out and talking more about what's going on in West Virginia, contact T-Page or contact me through Talkupy.net, the contact tab, and let's get this going, because it's super important to me, and I think we need to stay on top of it.
Wow.
Anyway, thanks so much, T-Page. I'm so glad you had time to come on the show. And like I told you the other day, I'm sure you'll be on again. So we'll get our ducks in a row and get some more songs lined up and bring you back on, and maybe a few other people too, okay?
Okay, that sounds great. I'm looking forward to it. Thank you so much, Annie. God bless you.
All right, sweetie. Have a great day, and okay. we'll see you soon. Bye-bye.
Okay. God bless. Love you. Bye-bye.
I love you too. Bye-bye. All right, so that's C-Page Del Porto. Great guy. Super artist. And definitely Being the Change, which is our new exit song, Earth Guardians. You can look them up at Twitter at Earth Guardians with a Z at the end, or on Facebook. It's Shutusket and Iquatli Martinez. And they are busy being the young people making everything change. So let's listen to them. Go out and join me on Thursday with Aaron Calfato, monologuist of For Profit. He's really great. You got to come in and listen to him. Get some ideas for your movement. He's definitely making changes with his play. All right. See you guys Thursday.
What is real? The oneness of the earth is what you will feel. Read this deep to let belief go. Be the truth, because you know you reap what you sow. The society's bond that captured your bond. Open your heart and hear our generation's call. It's time to be the change, therefore what you know is right. It's time to be the change and build a world of light. It's time to be the change and unite as one. It's time to be the change and that means everyone.
You gotta feel the change to lead the change.
You gotta share the change to spread the change.
You gotta give the change to be the change.
So be the change, so be the change.
So let society's ways drive you no more. Break down the lock and open a different door. Step out of the cage from where you have been caught. Remember the truth that you have forgot.
We become the change that we want to see. A world's gonna be the way we want it to be.
We are all connected by the same thread. What we do to each other, we do to the web.
It's time to be the change, stand for what you know is right. It's time to be the change and build a world of light. It's time to be the change and unite as one. It's time to be the change.